Thanks for checking out this bonus interview with Ray Edwards for Chapter 2 of Performance Driven Giving. My name is Kent Sanders, and I'm a writer who collaborated with David Hancock and Bobby Kipper on this book. Just a quick note before we get to the interview. You may notice that these conversations have a bit of a different feel than what you're used to hearing on a podcast interview or another setting. And the reason is because these have been edited for clarity and flow to let the material on giving really shine through. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this conversation with the amazing Ray Edwards. Well, your book is called Permission to Prosper. Why do we need permission to prosper in the first place? That is a phenomenal title for a book. I absolutely love it. But why do people need permission to prosper?
Well, the fact that people do need permission to prosper is demonstrated to me every time I tell someone the title of my new book. And the response I get is, oh, thank goodness, I need to read that. So it's like believers everywhere feel the need for permission to prosper. And it's an appropriate feeling, especially for those of us in the United States, in Great Britain, in Australia. Most believers in this world are among the wealthiest people on earth already. So when we read those in the New Testament about you rich people, listen up, here's what you need to know. He's talking to us. He's writing to us. We are rich. The challenge people have, I think sometimes, like if you look at the title of my book, it's Permission to Prosper, How to Be Rich Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. It doesn't say how to get rich. It says how to be rich, because most of us already are and don't realize it. We need to know, how do I conduct myself as a rich, prosperous person? And then secondarily, is it okay for me to have this prosperity that I have? To have this nice house, this nice car, this nice job, to be concerned about whether my portfolio balance is going down in the market right now because of the things that are happening in the world. Is that okay, or am I somehow being sinful by having those thoughts, those feelings? And my message is, none of those things have anything to do with your real prosperity. So number one, yes, it's okay for you to have these things. Number two, what we need to examine, I believe, is our relationship to the prosperity we have.
How do you define prosperity? That's a term that is so loaded in Western culture. Obviously, you go into this deeply in the book, but kind of in a nutshell, what is prosperity?
Well, I believe in a biblical context, prosperity is living the fullest expression of what God has in store for us. And that can be summed up in the way it was summed up in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking and all the stuff that we have. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God. So if the kingdom, the king's domain, is within us, which is what Jesus told us, he said, the kingdom is within you, then we should inside feel the feelings of righteousness, peace, and joy. And that comes from a feeling of abundance. There's this line in the 23rd Psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another translation says it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So this is what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So we're seeking the kingdom of God. It's within. It's the domain of the king. That's what kingdom means. And if we look within and we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, not our own righteousness, not that we are so good, we are so perfect, we are so holy, we are through his grace, all those things. We're seeking his righteousness. Then all these things we worry about, what to eat, what to drink, where to live, what's going to happen with the market, do I have to wear a mask or not? These are all matters we don't need to be concerned or worried about.
I love that. I love that. Something you talk about in the book is money won't make you rich and poverty won't make you prosperous. in the Christian community, I think we have a long tradition of assuming that the poorer that you are, that the more righteous that you are. Why is that belief totally mistaken?
Well, because these material things, I mean, let's be clear. Material things make us neither rich nor prosperous in any permanent, lasting sense. We came into this world naked with nothing. That's exactly how we're going to go out. Life has a 100% mortality rate. Everybody dies. And when we go, we'll go with exactly what we came with, nothing. So everything we have between now and then is profit, is wealth, is prosperity. But those things do not make us prosperous. The prosperity we have comes from within. We are what God says we are. God says we are heirs of the world according to the promise of Abraham. The amount of prosperity that you enjoy is really in relation to your heart position toward God and his promises, toward God and his kingdom. And if you value the presence of God and moving in the kingdom, doing, as Jesus said, only what the Father is doing, saying only what the Father is saying, you are enormously wealthy and prosperous because you're a son or a daughter of the King. He owns everything. It's all just on loan to us. We're temporary stewards. And yet, because of our kinship with the King, his prosperity is our prosperity. So we are, all of us, regardless of what our bank balance is, regardless of whether we live in a mansion or a box, we are incredibly rich.
What are some simple ways that people can start to be generous and to give? Because I think a lot of people hear your message and it's very exciting and it's refreshing. Obviously, it's straight from the Bible. But people who are in desperate straits financially most of the time think, I don't have anything to give, or I can't give because I don't have anything extra. What are some ways that someone who is in a desperate financial situation can start to be generous or start to give?
Well, here's something you can give with no money in your pocket. You can give your attention to the person right in front of you. You can give your presence to the people that you're with. When I say your presence, I mean, you can be there with them at that moment. Today's world is so interesting because people are continually projecting themselves to somewhere other than where they are. If they're waiting online somewhere or in line for the bank teller or something at the restaurant, at the fast food counter for a cup of coffee, they're looking at their phones. They're thinking about their to-do list today. They're thinking about the meeting they have coming up. They're not present doing what they're doing while they're doing it with the people who are there. So you can be present with people. You can give someone a smile. You can be kind to the person behind the cash register. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but it may make all the difference to them in the world. If you have no money and you have children and a family at home, you can give them your time and your attention as you play with them, listen to them talk about their day. Kids know the secret of contentment. They are happy to go to Disney World. They're also happy to build a castle out of cardboard boxes in the backyard and have an entire adventure in an afternoon. We could learn a lot from children, which I think is why so true. Jesus told us, you need to become like one of these little children to enter into the kingdom.
What do you think the connection is between someone being financially successful and their generosity and giving? Is there a direct correlation between those two things?
No. I know people who are financially wealthy and they're the most scarcity-minded, frightened, greedy people you can care to meet. I know people who barely have two nickels to rub together. They're the most generous, free-handed, seemingly wealthy people you would ever care to know. They feel totally free. What is the difference? It's what they place their trust in. Success, by one worldly definition that I actually like a lot is the progressive realization of a worthwhile goal. So even if you're broke and your goal is to have $1 million and you saved $10 and put it in your piggy bank today, you made progress toward a worthy goal. You're successful right now, not someday when you get $1 million. Is it possible to have apparent success and be greedy? Yes. Is it possible to be completely broke, living in poverty, and not be a holy person? Lots of people think that by being poor, we're somehow morally superior. I find that often to not be the case. So in the end, our prosperity or our feeling of wealth and our behavior of generosity has nothing to do with our bank account and everything to do with our heart toward God, our heart toward people, and how generous we are with what we have, which could be something as simple and as profound as our attention and time.
That might be the most scarce resource that anybody has right now, is their attention.
Yes, you're correct.
So as a business leader and as an entrepreneur, what are some ways that you try to practice generosity in your personal life?
Well, what I'd like to talk about is how we can all practice more generosity rather than talk about ways that I may or may not do it. I try very hard to be a generous person. And generosity can mean giving money to charities, and I think that's a good thing to do. Giving money to the church and missionaries, that's a good thing to do. I think another way to give is to give enormous value in your marketing, in your advertising. You can deliver information and helpful education in your marketing. I'm a big believer in something called education-based marketing. So that even in your marketing, your selling materials, you're helping people achieve a better quality of life. You can make the very best products and over-deliver on quality. Business in and of itself creates more prosperity. It creates prosperity for your employees, for your vendors, for your suppliers, for the service providers who provide cable and electricity and power and water for your office buildings, for the people who transport your goods, for the people who receive them, for the people who benefit from them, for the people in their lives whom you're able to serve because something you did made their life better or more financially feasible or more profitable. The actual conduct of good, honest business in and of itself is an act of generosity. And then you can do simple things like pay your team better than they expect. Pay them better than average for your industry. Be generous in the pay. Be generous in your pricing. Be generous in the amount of time and attention you give to your community. Generosity is not a separate activity that we practice and tick it off a list. It's a way of life.
I love that. I love that. Okay, one final question. And this is something I've asked most of the other interviewees as well. Many times when it comes to generosity and giving, we place the emphasis on how do we give? How do we be generous? How do we do that for others? But there's also the other side of it, which is receiving. What are some ways that we can stay open to receiving in our own lives? Because for many people, they love to give and they find that very easy to do, but they have a hard time receiving for whatever reason. Are there some ways that we can be better receivers?
Yeah, I think it's funny you asked this question because this is something I think most of us in today's world suffer from. We're not good at receiving. We give excuses and we say things like, oh, you don't have to do that. I don't deserve that. It's like we're embarrassed. I encourage you to practice the simple phrase when someone gives you a compliment, a cup of coffee, a gift, an accolade, just say, thank you. And smile and receive it with an open heart. Think of it as a gift from God. I think practicing receiving is something we do even if we're not receiving from another person. This may sound weird, but if I find a dime or a nickel on the ground as I'm walking along the street. I pick it up and I say to God, thank you, Lord, for putting wealth in my path. And I put it in my pocket. You may say it's only a penny or a dime or a nickel. Well, it's a penny or a dime or a nickel I did not have 5 minutes ago. It was just given to me. I say, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine today, for oxygen, for the fact that I can breathe. These are all enormously invaluable gifts. I mean, imagine if you couldn't breathe, how much would you be enjoying your other stuff right now? Not very much. Because you can't breathe, you're dead.
So true. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Ray Edwards and hope you'll check out the other interviews and the bonus content for performance-driven giving.